Okay, so here, so Indriyam should have its own Golakam. So this power of mentation also is an Indriyam, which has, the heart is the Golakam. Why do we need to know that Golakam? We need to locate the mind. Is it like where the mind is? Of course, mind is all over the body in waking state. That is why any part of the body is conscious and sentient, because pervaded by what? Mind. But this mind, as you said, you all know Indriyam is imperceptible. Indriyam is invisible. But you can understand the Indriyam being there, the power being there. So in deep sleep state, what happens? The mind, the Indriya Shakti, you know, which is spread all over the body, but it doesn't go outside, okay? It withdraws itself and it remains resolved. Where does it remain resolved? In heart. The physical heart. And physical heart, this Upanishad does not say, Kathopanishad says, how Shankara in his Bhashyam says, he like a Pundarikavata, like the lotus. Our heart is like the lotus. And in Kathopanishad, the heart is described as the, you know, like our fist. Heart is the size of the fist. And if it is of the size of the fist, and how much will be the space inside the inner space? The heart, which is of the size of the fist, how much will there be the space inside? The space is of the size of your angushta. How much they measure? Look at this. How much can you keep inside? Inside the fist, what will be the space? If the heart is of the size of your fist, the space inside the heart cannot be, must be of the size of your angushtaha, the thumb. Thumb size is the space available inside the heart. Because the whole heart is the size of your angushta, mushti, is your fist. That's for, he says, that in that hridaya akasha, what you know, hridaya akasha means space inside the heart, physical heart, is the hridaya akasha. In the hridaya akasha is what now, your mind is there, your indriyam is there. And what is that indriyam? That mind alone represents the Hiranyagarbha, the total mind. Is it clear now? Total mind. Symbol. Therefore, he says, that Hiranyagarbha, which is in the form of all the minds, all the powers, is here available as what? As the indriyam of the indriyam, as your own mana indriyam. Becomes the alambanam. Who is the, what is the alambanam symbol here? Your own mano indriyam. Mana indriyam. Your own mana indriyam. Your own sense, mind of power of mentation is the sense here, alambanam. For which, what is, who is the devata? The Hiranyagarbha. Total mind. So, that Hiranyagarbha is very much here as what? Your own mind. It's called Ahangraha Upasanam. Okay, you practice it actually. No. It's called Hiranyagarbha Upasanam only. This is how Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is done. So, Saya Esho Ontar Hridaya Akashaha. Saya Esho Ontar Hridaya Akashaha. Saya Esho Ontar. Saya Esho Ontar Hridaya Akashaha.
Hridaya Akashaha.
So, Hridaye Akashaha. Hridaya Akashaha. There is space, the space of the, your thumb size space is in the heart, which is the Golakam, okay, of the Mayana Indriyam, where Antar Hridaya Akashaha. Not space outside the heart, space inside the heart. Space inside the heart, Antar Hridaya Akashaha Yaha Asti. Yaha Asti, there is space inside the heart, which is of the size of the thumb. Why? The heart itself is the size of your fist. That reference where do we get? From Kathopanishad. Not from the Hiyasa Upanishad. Okay. Then, tasmin ayam, tasmin ayam, purusho.
Purusho.
So, tasmin hridaya akashe, tasmin hridaya akashe, hridayasya antaha akashe, ayam purushaha. Ayam purushaha means what now? Ayam purushaha, this person. Which person? This Hiranyagarbha. Purushana Hiranyagarbha. Who is Hiranyagarbha here? Who represents the total subtle manifestation. Okay. The Hiranyagarbha, the Lord, the total total subtle manifestation is there as what now? Your Sukshma, isn't it? The total mind is very much here in your own Hridayam heart as your own power of mentation. See, you want to see. If you do the bypass surgery of the heart, what can you see? Auricles and ventricles, not the indriyam. You know why mind? Even if you do the eye operation, you can't see the indriyam there. Why? Indriyam is invisible. It is subtle. It will never be available for your no microscope. That's why scanning can, you know, go intrude into your body and scan all the physical parts, but not the indriyams. You know that physical parts can be x-rays and scanning. That is very helpful for the doctors to diagnose diseases. Because they penetrate and they go and then take anything. But not the indriyams. Indriyams is not available for any scanning. Oh my God, if indriyams also you can scan, how nice it would be. You can't do that. You will find some solution for that also. Then you can't call it indriyam. It becomes a golakam. Okay. There is so here, antaha hridaya akashaha yaha asti tasmin hridaya akashe ayam purushaha asti. This Hiranyagarbha, in the form of your own power of mentation, is very much available, not very much there, in the space inside the your heart, physical heart. How, why do you say that? Because heart is the golakam for the mana indriyam. Is there. Then, who is this now? Where is Hiranyagarbha? Your own mind. So, Hiranyagarbha is not your mind, not your antakarna shakti, but your antakarna is what? Hiranyagarbha. It's like Bhagavan is not this little Ganesha, but Ganesha is Bhagavan. Like that, the Hiranyagarbha is not your mind alone, but your mind is what? Hiranyagarbha. Isn't it? Like that we say, because how do we say this? In the whole of England, see, Beckenham is in England when you say, the Beckenham is in England means, Beckenham being part of England, isn't it? England pervades Beckenham also, doesn't it? England pervades Beckenham because it's not outside of it. Similarly here, when you say the total mind is Hiranyagarbha and what is your mind? Isn't it? Therefore, your mind, your power of mana indriyam is in the Hridaya Akasha, and that in that Hridaya Akasha alone, I am Purushaha, the Hiranyagarbha is there. Yes, your own power of mentation. Tasmin ayam purusho purushaha. Now, we glorify Hiranyagarbha. There's a glorification of Hiranyagarbha. Who is this Hiranyagarbha? Who is in the form of all the minds? Manomayaha. Manomayaha. This Hiranyagarbha, who is in the form of all the minds, is here in your own mind. Is here in your own heart, as your own mind. Manomayaha means what now? The one who is in the form of all the minds is said to be Manomayaha. Is it clear now? If we say the water is in the form of all the waves, wave Mayaha, Taranga Mayaha means what now? One who is in the form of all the waves. Like that, the one who is in the form of all the minds is what? Manomayaha. Then next, Amruto. Amruto. See, Hiranyagarbha is also said to be Amrutaha, immortal. You know the Alambanam, you know the Devata invoked. Now we see how Hiranyagarbha is glorified. Hiranyagarbha who is there as your own mana indriyam in your heart, in the Hridaya Akasha, is in the form of all the minds, Manomayaha. That Hiranyagarbha is also what now he says, Amrutaha. Amrutaha means immortal. Oh, immortal means what? Not subject to time, not bound by time. That means, you may think only we have understood till now, consciousness, the Parambrahman alone is free from time limitation. What about this Sukshma Sharira, isn't it? A immortal means relatively immortal. Understand, the subtle body has much longer life. The physical body has only maximum, human physical body can live only for 120 years. Okay? You know, so whereas Hiranyagarbha lives for 120 Chaturyugas. You know what is one yugam? One day of Hiranyagarbha. Our one whole life becomes one day of Hiranyagarbha. I'll tell you the calculations later on. Hiranyagarbha, how long does the Sukshma Shariram survive? In Jnanam alone, Sukshma Shariram will resolve for good. It will not assume a rebirth and come back. In Jnanam. Until Jnanam takes place, this Sukshma Shariram will be alive, 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 alive. Okay? It means when, so what is relatively, subtle body has longer life. Nothing can kill the subtle body. You know that? Nothing can kill. Subtle body cannot be destroyed. This is what gave the strength even for, you know, the peeps. I told you once in the class, when there was a battle between this Alexander's people, the army men, and the Pururavas' people, actually, as the battle was going on, he had much bigger army. Alexander had a bigger army. Pururavas had very small army, very small number of the soldiers. But the battle was not coming to an end at all. It was going on and on and on. And Alexander wanted to know what is the secret, why this battle is going on like this. Very such a small army, having very few, small number of soldiers. We have big army with lots of people. We should have been able to massacre them very quickly and got over, taken over that place. What's going on? That is when this one fellow went and found out. He came back and told, no, one small little, tiny little puny swami sitting there and teaching this the soldiers of Pururavas or something. He's teaching. I don't know what he's doing, but they seem to be very brave and very enthusiastic about fighting. Our soldiers are all very tired. They're fighting because they're scared of you. And then Alexander himself wanted to know what is. He always believed in this mysticism of India. This Indians have something mystic about something. Let people find out what it is. So he came to this side and he found out this sadhu sitting, and then a small man and a short, very puny person sitting and closing his eyes. And Alexander came and he didn't even open his eyes and he didn't say anything, hello or welcome him or anything. When Alexander goes, means everybody will get up and respect him also. This sadhu was least bothered to even see him, in knowing him who he was. And then as he approached him closely, the sadhu even closed his eyes tightly and he sat like this. Alexander came and made his presence. No? I have come here, Alexander. And sadhu said, oh, you know, I don't know what you're teaching. You are saying something to these people. What do you do? Why don't you come to my side? I can give you anything you want. He thought, you're such a puny man, you can just take him, kidnap him, and take him to his two side. So then all his side will be more powerful, you see. He wanted to. This sadhu said, you know, no, I don't want anything from you. Yes, he said, I don't want anything from you. And then the sadhu said, Now what you, if you please move away from me, like I want sunlight to fall on me. You're hiding the sunlight, to, you know. I want to move away from him. Then Alexander really felt insulted. And he said, not that he, Sadhu didn't have intention of insulting, but Sadhu, no, he didn't understand, isn't it? And he asked, okay, you are going to come with me or not? I'm going to really destroy, I'll kill you otherwise. And that is when Sadhu laughed aloud, you know. You don't know, you can never kill me, you cannot kill me. Now, you cannot kill me, you cannot kill me. That means what? Your physical body can kill my physical body. That means this sadhu was teaching this soldiers, the sthulam alone can be destroyed. Sthulam either today or tomorrow, one day or the other, sthulam will fall apart. But sukshma has long life. Sukshma is indestructible. That is why in sukshma, store everything in your sukshma. Hindu shastras, the outside they were burnt, but they all in the minds of people, they came back. They manifested. You know this fact, no? There's a shastra jnanam, never becomes extinct. No way. The sukshma goes, assumes a new body, comes back, again becomes manifest. This is a secret, isn't it? Jnanam, knowledge is always in your thought. Where is the knowledge? Oh, outside all the libraries will burn. Books all will burn. Throw them into these things. Okay, fine. Physical body also will kill. Okay, where is the knowledge now? All stored in the mind. What can the mind do? It can manifest. Again, assume another body. Again, as they're born. Again, it can pick up a thread. It can get expressed. That's what I'm saying. That's why other people are very fool. No, foolish. They want to store everything outside. And here, we saw everything in the mind, which is indestructible. It has long life, okay? It is, sukshma shariram is not absolutely eternal. It is consciousness which is absolutely eternal. Sukshma has a time of becoming manifest. This time when it becomes unmanifest also. Therefore, relatively, it has longer life. Therefore, we say what? No. Amritaha. It is relatively eternal, not absolutely eternal. Is it clear now? Sukshma shariram is not subject to destruction at all. That is why we do shraddham. Know why we perform shraddham? Why we offer up your prayers to our ancestors? Because we 100% we believe, not 100% believing, it is a fact for us that even though the physical body, the paradha, some disease comes, something happens, the physical body falls apart. Then you can't relate to the subtle person. What happened to the subtle person? He is still alive. Unless he got the jnanam, you know, the person would have become resolved. If it is not a, we know how the person was, okay? Then even whether we don't know, whether the person is a jnani or not, we do not know. The sukshma, that is why we offer our prayers. The putru karma we do, why? Because for us the sukshma still survives. It is, we are not offering oblations to consciousness, you know that? It is for the sukshma, the person's subtle form. The subtle alone lends life to the gross. Of course, subtle borrows its life from consciousness, that's a different thing. It's never away. The subtle body is indestructible. Sukshma rupam is not at all destroyed. But still, what is the use of subtle body being alive? Why we can't understand that? Because it is invisible, imperceptible, not available for transactions. Sukshma bahiram cannot ashariri, okay? Cannot any communicate to you. Suppose you don't think sukshma shariram, she's sitting here somewhere, some corner. Suppose the person who lived here, don't get frightened, okay? The person who would have lived long, long ago, the person died. Okay, and if he sukshma sitting around here and watching, oh, moment when you come into my house, look at this. We can't, don't think that way. Other person also, the sukshma also cannot interact with the world, nor can the people in the world can interact with the sukshma. Is uninteractably, okay, interactably, it must be there. Okay, but not here. Where is it? Don't need to worry where it is, how it is. One thing Shastra makes it very clear, that is why we have prayers for ancestors. Pitrukarma. That is why we do Tithi. That is, even though the person was alive, he was such a not very, very nice person. Also, when the person goes, mean the Sukshma, we always pay our respects. At least one flower. Now, something we offer. The Shraddham. Now, why we perform? Because Sukshma is surviving. When will it die? It will not die at all. There is no death for Sukshma. It will resolve by itself only in jnanam, knowledge. Therefore, even individual Sukshma, what about the total Sukshma? Relatively immortal. That is why we called what a Brahma status also. Relatively eternal. That's why Hidis Hiranyagarbha, who is in the form of all the minds, who is relatively eternal. Tasmin ayam purusho manomayaha hiranmayaha amrutaha. Relatively eternal. Hope you understand correctly. Amrutaha, don't take it as immortal. Relatively immortal. Then hiranmayaha. Hiranmayaha means what now? He is a total knowledge. Why total knowledge here? Hiranmayaha means one who is sarva jnana shaktiman. Sarva jnana shaktiman means because mind, every individual mind has any knowledge of anything is a thought, the mind, isn't it? Your total knowledge is also what now? All forms of knowledge in all the minds is what? Ishvara. Isn't it? Therefore, Hiranmayaha means what now? He is the abode of all knowledge. Hiranmayaha. Total knowledge. This Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of all the minds, is in the form of all the intellects, is in the form of all knowledge. This Hiranmayaha alone is what? Relatively immortal, enjoying long life. So, 120 Chatur Yugas is the life of Hiranyagarbha. I'll tell you what all Chatur Yuga, all the calculations later on. Okay. Now, so there. So, may, that's all, open it stops here. And we have to supply a lot of things there. May one meditate upon this Hiranyagarbha, the total mind, relatively eternal. The total knowledge, in reference total knowledge also, that Hiranyagarbha in the form of one's own mind available in one's own heart, space of one's own, inner space of one's heart. If a person meditates, then what happens? That's all, finished. He doesn't say much about it. Then what happens to the meditator? That is said in the following line. If a person meditates upon Hiranyagarbha, then after the death of that person, the meditator, when the person dies, what happens to the Sukshma of the person? Stholam becomes disintegrated, cremated. The Sukshma of the meditator, he says it leaves. The mind is total, the mind of the person leaves. When the mind goes, the entire Sukshma follows the mind. Okay? The mind leaves. What does it do? The mind goes to what? It goes to Brahma Loka. It reaches the Brahma Loka. But to reach the Brahma, for this individual mind, to become one with Hiranyagarbha, to reach the Brahma Loka, Shastram talks about one path. It's called solar path. Surya Gatihi or Shukla Gatihi, and here Upanishad talks about the Indra Yonihi. Indra Yonihi means what now? The path, Yoni means the path here, the path which leads one to Indra, Brahma Loka. Don't ask me whether I have seen all those things, okay? I want to tell you what the Upanishad says. This, the mind of the meditator, along with other sense powers, travels. See, travel is only for, not for consciousness, only for the Sukshma. And whose Sukshma travels? the meditator Sukshma, who meditates upon Hiranyagarbha, and especially one who practices these two upasanams, Vyakriti and Hiranyagarbha upasanam. How he meditates, how that all Upanishad doesn't say. Okay? Then, that the Shukla Gatihi or Surya Gatihi or this, the solar path, you call solar path also, or this Indra Yonihi begins from one's physical heart. And therefore, and in that physical heart, it goes out. And there are, Shastram talks about many nadis also, nadis. The nadi, I don't want to say, it's not a vein, it's not a vessel, blood vessel like, it's not a tube or something. Nadi is again another very, very subtle, not available for any of your dissections. Like when you dissect, you can see lots of nerves and things. The nadis you cannot find out. Nadi is again sukshma. There's so many nadis. Okay, and then the one special nadi is called Sushumna Nadi. And the Shastram says, this meditator's mind, along other sense powers, travels through the Sushumna Nadi. And where it starts from the heart, you cannot photograph, okay? To fight, this is what Sushumna Nadi, come on, see. One small line and draw and say, that's not visible. Okay, just talks about it, we just listen to it, that's all. Sushumna Nadi. Then, what happens now? Then that nadi goes from the heart. Antarena taluke. Talukam. Antarena talukam is what now he actually inside the throat. In the middle of the, from the heart, it goes in the middle of the heart, up above your throat. Taluke. Stana iva avalambate. Stanaha means, you can see our sirinakun shalvam. There is some, the small part which is hanging in the middle of the heart, what is it called? The
uvula.
Yeah. There, that is like, the stana means, it's like the nipple of the udder, the cow's udder, isn't it? Yeah. Which is hanging there. Yeah. So through that it goes, it seems. The Sushumna Nadi goes from the heart in the middle of the throat, and through that, it goes upwards. It goes upwards. And it goes upwards what? It goes up to the, in this part, I mean, it goes to the place where the end of the keshas, keshantaha vartate, vivartate, where there is the roots of the hair. Up to the roots of the hair it goes. Okay? The Sushumna Nadi goes up to the roots of the hair. So he says, Yeshaha stanaha iva avalambate. No, from there, the sendra. See, Upanishad doesn't give anything. We have to make out these sentences. See, ta antarena taluke means in the middle of the throat, it goes upwards and it goes through that yula. The Yeshaha stanaha iva avalambate, there's something hanging. Okay, like a stanaha, it's Upanishadic language. And then it goes through that. That's called what now? Sendra saha indrayonihi. That is the Shukla Gatihi begins like that. No, this Sushumna Nadi goes like that. That is Sushumna Nadi itself is what now? Shukla Gatihi. And from there, Yatra aso kesha antaha vartate. Kesha antaha means what now? The root of the hair. Is there where? In the skull, isn't it? The roots of the hair. It goes up, it comes to that, and from there, it breaking open the skull, where the roots of the hair are there, vyapohya sirsha kapale. Vyapohya breaking open the skull, it goes. When does it happen? Breaking open means you cannot find the physical breaking. Isn't it? Don't think of the meditator's physical body, dead body, if you see, it won't be broken open or anything. It's very subtle, isn't it? It leaves. This happens when? Only after death. This meditator, after death, this sukshma shariram leaves. See, it goes through the throat, okay? It breaks open the kapalam, the skull, and it goes through the, it travels through the solar path, Indrayoni, and it reaches the Brahmalokaha. What have you understood? You learned here her nice story. You can imagine. Just imagine and that's all you have to keep it. This is not, we cannot disprove, nor can we prove. It's a matter for belief. Okay? Because Veda says we accept it. But how we can accept it? We know even the Brahmaloka Praptihi is what? Temporary. And are we interested in that? Are we bothered but for not understanding this? No. Why? We are interested in Nitya Moksha. We are not interested in temporary Moksha. Isn't it? This is only temporary holiday. So we are not interested. So our Moksha is assured here right now. Why should we wait for the holidays? So that is why we understand. So, tatraso, yatraso,
ke shanto,
vivartate, vyapohya,
shirshakapale.
Okay, so it goes out. The mind of the meditator goes out. Through the throat. Understand now. It breaking open the skull. Reaching the area where the roots of the hair there. Thereafter it goes to what now? Brahma Loka. Becomes one with Brahman. It's all understood. It's all supplied. I have to tell you, we have to understand all those. The Upanishad doesn't give much. Then, what happens to such a meditator if a person goes,
Bhurityagnam pratitishtati.
Now, you know, because he meditated upon also what? The Vyakriti Upasanams. And pratitishtati means this meditator as he travels, what now he says? He remains one with Vayu. What is Vayu? Because he meditated upon the Vayu, on this Bhu Vyakriti, now he also becomes one with Vayu Devata. Vayu Devata is what now? Vayu Devata means the total power of touch, isn't it? He becomes one with Vayu Devata.
Bhuvaityagnam pratitishtati
means he remains one with. His subtle body means what now? His sense powers, his seeing power remains one with total seeing power. His power of touch remains one with the total power of touch. All individual powers remain one with their respective total powers. Is it clear now? The individual subtle powers remain one with total subtle powers. That's what he says here. Bhurityagnam pratitishtati. It's because he meditated upon this Agnihi, upon Bhu Vyahritihi, now his subtle, he remains one with Agni, remains one with all the devatas. He remains one with all the devatas means what? All his respective sense powers remain one with respective total powers.
Bhuva iti vayo,
suvaritya ditye,
maha iti brahmani.
Now, because he meditated upon bhuhu, bhuvaha, suvaha, maha, upon four vyakritis, upon different devatas, now what happens? All his individual sense powers remain one with the total power, respective powers. Therefore, what happens now? His mind also remains one with Brahman Hiranyagarbha. That is how Mahaiti Brahmani means his entire individual Sukshma remains one with total Sukshma. Is it clear now? Individual Sukshma remains one with total Sukshma. That means individual Sukshma becomes individual Sukshma only when it assumes a body. the individual subtle body, when it assumes a gross body, it becomes what now? As though separated from the total. It doesn't have the individual, this gross body, it remains one with the total subtle. There is no isolation. Is it clear now? There is no isolation. Like in what happens in your sleep? In sleep, what happens to your sukshma? Do you have any sense of separation that time in sleep, deep sleep state? In deep sleep state, you don't have identity with this sthula. You don't have identity with your sukshma also. I can't see, I can't hear. Do you say anything in deep sleep state? You know, I had to go to the eye doctor because my eyes are not okay, you know. There is no such thing in deep sleep state. Why? Because they are resolved. Even temporarily resolved means you have nothing. What about for long resolution? You have to sleep for some hours for the individual sukshma to be resolved. And this for the meditator, the individual sukshma remains resolved, not here, in total powers for a long time. That is why when we say, when you talk about the journey of the sukshma, the person traveling to the higher lokas means, don't ever think he goes with this physical body, okay? It is not possible to carry such a heavy body, okay? And then to travel upwards to the other lokas. That's why it's very, very subtle. The sukshma alone travels. Sukshma alone travels through solar path and it reaches the Brahmaloka. Then all the respective subtle individual powers remain one with the total subtle powers, which is called Hiranyagarbha Praptihi. Hiranyagarbha Sthana Praptihi. Why should we work very hard and practice these difficult meditations? After all, to attain this one, we do not know really. That's why they like this, isn't it? But people who like it, they like it. Suvaritya ditye,
Suvaritya ditye,
Maha iti Brahmani,
Maha iti Brahmani.
So this meditator, along with the practice of Hiranyagarbha Upasanam meditation, he also meditated upon Vyahritis, Bhuh, Vuvaha, Suvaha, Maha, you know, invoking different devatas. Therefore, what happens now? All his subtle powers remain one with the total subtle powers. His mind remains resolved in the Hiranyagarbha, the total mind. Therefore, now he remains one with Hiranyagarbha. This remaining one with Hiranyagarbha is indicated by the word pratitishthati. Pratitishthati means what now? He remains one with. And that's, when we say, that's called relative temporary moksha or apekshika moksha. And that apekshika moksha is here said to be what now? He enjoys sovereignty. That means he becomes what now? The Lord. Once you are one with the total means you are not an individual. You are one with the total. But you are one with the total sukshma means what? Still only? Your identity is not resolved in consciousness still, isn't it? Only with still with the material universe only. That is why we say here, apekshika mokshaha. It's not nitya moksha. And he enjoys sovereignty. Means what now? Apnote swara ajam. Apnote swara ajam. He attains Hiranyagarbha status. Then, He becomes the Lord of all the minds. He becomes the Lord of all the senses. He becomes the Lord of all powers of organs of actions. He becomes the Lord of the sense powers also. Shrotrapatihi, Vijnanapatihi. He becomes the Lord of all knowledge. Is it clear now? Lord of all knowledge. This person, once you resolve your individual sukshma in total sukshma, I tell you, the meditator attains the status of being the Hiranyagarbha. Okay, this is called Hiranyagarbha Padavi, Hiranyagarbha Sthanam, Hiranyagarbha Praptihi. What does it mean? Becoming, attaining the Hiranyagarbha status means remaining resolved, having one's individual sukshma resolved in total sukshma. What does it mean? You have to resolve, only then it will mean what it means. How can I resolve the individual sukshma in total sukshma? For which you have to practice two meditations. To understand what it means by saying resolving one's individual sukshma in total sukshma, to remain one with total sukshma, is the phalam, fruit, benefit. Once you remain one with this total sukshma, what happens? You become the lord of, you means which you? Not this physical word, okay? You mean the, as individual, you then as Hiranyagarbha, you are the lord of all the minds, all knowledge, all sense powers, all that. To understand what it means by saying one becoming the lord of all the senses, all the minds, all the powers of organs of actions, to understand what it is, you had to be one with, you had to become Hiranyagarbha. How can you become Hiranyagarbha? You have to attain Hiranyagarbha sthanam. How can you attain? You have to resolve individual sukshma in the total sukshma. How can you resolve individual sukshma in total sukshma? You have to travel through solar path. How can you travel? Not when you are alive. How can you? After death. Even after death, simply I want to go, can I go? No, you must have got the qualification. What is the qualification? Punyam. Special punyam. How can I earn the punyam? By practicing meditation. What meditation? Both Hiranyagarbha Upasanam and Vyakruti Upasanam. If you have practiced both Upasanams together, you gain some phalam. That phalam is called punyam. As a result of the punyam you have earned by practicing these two meditations, then you have to wait for your kicking your bucket. Then you have to leave. Then you will break what now? From your heart, there is a solar path with Sushumna Nadi. You break open, go, travel and go to that loka. Okay, this is the description of Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. It's like somebody coming and telling me, you know, this is how pizza tastes. You know how it looks? This is how it looks. To get it, there is a pizza hut. For that, you had to go this. Oh, having heard everything, how does pizza tastes? For which you had to go and eat it. Then you will know how what it is. I can only describe. Where is the pizza hut? How it looks? How it tastes? To go there, how should you travel? Everything I can tell you. But then to know how pizza tastes, you have to go yourself. The Upanishad also says here, I can tell you, this is what is what now? Becoming the lord of all your sense powers, becoming the lord of your mind, becoming lord of everything means this is what is becoming the lord. Becoming one with Hiranyagarbha. Remaining one with Hiranyagarbha means what? Attainment of Hiranyagarbha Padavi, sthanam. For which you have to, that means your sukshma has to resolve, become one with that. And for which you have to go to Brahmaloka. That means you have to travel, the sukshma has to travel. You have to go means which you have to go. Not this thula, because you have eyesense sitting here and I. This cannot go. The sukshma alone will go. And for the sukshma to go, lots of punyam. And that punyam has to practiced very hard meditation. Is it clear now? That is why in Tamil, they'll say, oh, Brahma Prayatram. They'll say that. That means if they had to work very hard something, the effort involved in getting this done is Brahma Prayatnam. Which means what? Brahma Prayatnam means what? To reach Brahma Loka, one has to put in lots of effort. Practicing these two meditations is not an easy joke, isn't it? That is why therefore in Tamil, without knowing also what they say, they'll take this Brahma Prayatnam. The greatest effort is involved in anything, achieving something, and they'll say Brahma Prayatnam. The effort involved in attaining Brahma Loka is involved in attaining the small thing also. That's what they say. You understand what I'm saying? This is a simple colloquialism people used to call. They don't understand what they're talking. Because we lived in the country, somehow we have this words being used in the language. Is it clear now? This is Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Finished. Very happy, happy now. Suvaritya Ditye,
Suvaritya Ditye,
Maha Iti Brahmane,
Maha Iti Brahmane,
Apno Tiswara Ajam,
Apno Tiswara Ajam,
Apno Timanasaspatim,
Apno Timanasaspatim.
Apnoti Manasaha Pati means what now? He attains the overlordship on minds. He becomes the lord of all the minds. Vakpatis Chakshushpatihi.
Vakpatis Chakshushpatihi.
Becomes the lord of all organs of speech. He becomes the lord of all sense organs. Shrotrapatir,
Shrotrapatir,
Vijnanapatihi,
Vijnanapatihi.
Becomes the lord of again, all total hearing power, total seeing power, total powers of organs of actions, powers of sense organs, and total knowledge. Vijnanapatihi.
Vijnanapatihi.
Yetattato bhavati.
Yetattato bhavati.
Yetattataha bhavati. As a result of meditation, this happens. What he says? Akashashariram Brahma.
Akashashariram Brahma.
Then what is the body for this person? Akashashariram Brahma. The whole space becomes what now? This form, this body. Akashashariram Brahma. For this Hiranyagarbha, the whole space is what now? Form only, his form only. Satyatma,
Satyatma.
Then he says Sat means the formed ones. Ya stands for formless ones. So Murta, Amurta, all this, the objects with the forms, the formless objects, formed objects, all of them become what now? His body. Everything becomes what now? All these objects with the forms and without forms become his body. Pranaramam,
Pranaramam,
Mana Anandam,
Mana Anandam.
And he doesn't have only one prana, the total prana becomes his. He revels in total prana. Prana Aramaha means what? He revels in this person being one with all the total prana. He becomes one with total prana. His prana is one with the total prana. He revels in the total prana. So, prana aramaha. Mana anandam.
Mana anandam.
And all the pleasures of all the mind become his pleasures. Mana, this mind is what now? His mind being one with the total mind. He is also what now? He has only pleasures. Here the question might come. When the individual mind becomes one with the total mind, he has all the pleasures. What about the total dukkham? Isn't it? Dukkham also is because mind means both sukham and dukkham. He has only total pleasures. What about dukkham? That is the nice thing. No dukkham. Okay, he enjoys the... He has the total pleasure, but he doesn't have total dukkham. That's one nicest thing. That's why it's worth trying for Hiranyagarbha Prapti. Understand? Total dukkham means what? Individual dukkham is better, isn't it? Individual pleasure, when you enjoy, you individual mind, have enjoying individual pleasures, should definitely go through individual dukkham. When being part of being... remaining one with the total mind, you can enjoy total pleasure, but no total dukkham, not even individual dukkham. That is the greatness of Hiranyagarbha Prapti. Basically, now that's why only sukham, no dukkham. But sukham also how long? Not permanent, time bound. Much longer holiday. Therefore, we say his mind becomes what now? Only source of pleasure. There's no dukkham in his mind. Mind becomes one with, being one with the total mind. His mind being resolved as one with total mind, he has only sukham, pleasure, no dukkham. And then he revels in total prana. His prana being resolved in total prana, he revels in total prana. Shanti samruddham.
Shanti samruddham.
Then his mind, yes, but no, individual mind, being resolved in total mind, he enjoys peace. No agitation. Understand now? No agitation. Enjoys peace. Amrutam.
Amrutam.
So, relatively also what now? In this subtle form, he remains, he lives long, he remains one with Hiranyagarbha for a very, very, very long time. Even though it is not moksha, but still he is a long, eternally, relatively eternal, peaceful, happy holiday. Is it clear now? When you listen to this, and some people become interested in all these things. And they give up this idea of moksha, jnanam and all that, and work hard for meditation. They go for meditation. People do get interested. They try. But, so, our Upanishad says, Shankara says in his Bhashyam, if you practice his upasanam as a sakama upasanam only, this palam will be there. If you practice this as a nishkama upasanam, you will have antakarna shuddhi and naischalyam, or you will be, as a result of that, you will be qualified for next chapter. Next chapter is what now? Brahmanandavalli. So what is Brahmanandavalli for? To understand Brahman. Why should you understand Brahman? To recognize the moksha here itself. Is it clear? No. That is the palam. So Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is over. Today's class also is over. Have you got it? And next Upasanam will be Pantha Upasanam, which we'll see in next class. You know, some fun in the first chapter. And quickly, I want to finish it as soon as possible. We can go to next chapter soon. Is it clear now? Because I didn't explain much here, because I think much to explain here. Manasahapatihi, Vakpatihi, Shotrapatihi, Indrapatihi. Now, when I say, what does it mean? This individual sukshma, without assuming the individual gross body, remains resolved, remains one with the total sukshma. That is called Hiranyagarbha Praptihi. Once such a state is attained, this person who remains, whose in sukshma remains one with the total sukshma, is said to be the lord of all the sukshmas. And he has only sukham in that status. There is no pain. There is no dukkham. The prana also revels in total prana. In such a condition, there is no dukkham. Our Swamiji is the right, beautifully he says, you know that, you go into any locus, will be how it will be if you want to know. How? In subtle form, I will not have anything. In deep sleep state, what dukkham you have? Even you resolve your sense powers, the sukshma for some time, for a few hours, you are free from pain and pleasure, aren't you? If you enjoy having the body itself, if you fall asleep in the class or at in the night later on, where is the sukha dukkham for you? Where is dukkham? Somebody wakes you up or you wake up from sleep, then dukkham comes. That's a different thing. If you don't wake up, where is the dukkham? In sleep, you have temporary moksha. In death also is a temporary moksha. You know why? Until you are born again, until you open your eyes in some other physical body, isn't it? The new life, new setup, new mom, new dad, new life, new house, new country sometimes. Isn't it? And everything is new. Last janma in somewhere in India, Bihar. And next janma somewhere in Trinidad. Okay? Like that, completely new. But still some same good parentage. Again, some other child is born. Now, I was thinking, all these children who are born of these mixed parentages. Now, some, from Paradha. At least to have one person Indian. and to be enjoyed. And then some prarabdha. And then at least see what happens, yes, isn't it? Completely new. Completely new. What do you know? Nothing. Once you're born, sukha dukkham begins. Doesn't matter whether you born in this country, that country, whichever skin you are born with, once thulam comes means dukkham comes along with this thulam. Isn't it? Once you resolve, even having this thulam, no identity is there, sukham. What to talk of the sukham when not assuming sthulam, not having resolved sukshma for good, but not assuming sthulam, having the sukshmam resolved temporarily for a long time. It is like, you know, it is like sleeping for 100 days together. Like our next door turtle. A whole of winter, he has been sleeping inside. He has not yet come out. We have been inquiring, what happened to him? Where is he? How is he returning back? Next door we have turtle. He is not coming and disturbing. When we are going to put the garden plant, he will come out. Now what I am saying here, it's typical, you can understand that. It's just you can imagine, you can understand what is sukham there. What is sukham? There is no thing called sukham. Dukkha, not having dukkham itself is sukham. Not having dukkham is sukham. What should you do for that? No identity with the sthulam, sukham. In sleep, ajnanam is there, but still there is sukham. Ajnana sahita, sukham. In death also, sukham. But relatively longer. In swarga, any loka, no, we have so many lokas. Go to different lokas, 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, like that, no, 3 years. Like that, no, how long? Brahma loka, long, very, very long holiday. Lot of money one has to earn and go for 5-6 years of holiday. Like that, with little money, go for a 2 weeks holiday, come back. But here lots of punyam you earn and go for a longest holiday. But still longest means adjective, isn't it? Not permanent. Is it clear now? So Swamiji only taught me this very beautiful. This is what giving vision, okay? It's all tips. So Swamiji tells this very beautifully. We all want to know how it would be in loka. No, you don't assume sthulam for a long time. Then what happens to sukshma? Is it wandering somewhere? Where is it? We want to know. Is it wandering with the white gown on it? Because there are people who confuse us now, who are ready to confuse with all pictures, nice pictures. And Avi comes, you know, and that walks. And then we are frightened. And any curtain moves and we get frightened. See, our own fear, our own all misconceptions. And some nut falls, and then something, you know, some jingle bell says, and we also Devi walks. For us, Devi walks. For you, ghost walks. People, I tell you, what sort of misconceptions? Already we are enough, our mind can project anything, I tell you. Anything it can project. When your mind projects something, please understand, you project something, it is subjective reality. Okay? That is why you argue so much that you don't want to deny your perception. We never say it is subjective reality. Your own dream, if you come and narrate your dream to other person, what other person say? It is not real for other person because he does not know what your dream is. And then, that does not mean you did not dream. Your dream is real for you. It's subjective reality. And it can never become objective reality, nor can it become absolute reality. But what is subjectively real should be seen as subjectively real, that's all. When you look upon it as absolute reality, that is when you end up in arguments. Shastram never denies any of your perceptions. Only select taste is, it is not absolutely real. What is subjectively real should be understood as subjective reality. What is empirically real, relatively real, should be seen only as relative reality. The problem is, we mistake the subjective realities and the objective realities, the empirical realities, for absolute realities. That is our problem. You get the point what I'm saying? Therefore, what we understand here is, this is Swamiji made very clear for me, even though we don't practice these upasanams. See, upasana palam, when you practice these two upasanam, Hiranyagarbha upasanam and Vyakriti upasanam, as a result of which, this sukshma does not assume another sthula sharidam immediately. Because of the punyam. That requires a tremendous amount of punyam. And that punyam helps one, the sukshma leaves physical body, remains one with the total sukshma. Identity the total sukshma. What it means, you don't need to understand, okay, how it is and all those things. And it talks about how it moves. Because mind is subtle indriyam. You cannot even see. And his mind travels from the heart. When the death happens, the mind from the whole body, like in sleep, is withdrawn to this heart. Then from there, it goes from this through Sukshmanadi. It goes via the throat. And it goes breaking open your skull. And it reaches the Brahmaloka, means what now? All the individual powers remain resolved in one with the total powers. And it remains for a very, 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 very long time. Therefore, you don't have dukkham. In this respect, it's called what now? Amrutaha. No, mana anandam pranara, mana anandam shanti samruddham amrutam. You say, it means what? There is no dukkham, there is only sukham. He revels in total prana and he becomes the lord of all the senses. This is the Hiranyagarbha upasanam. Hiranyagarbha upasana phalam, and not doesn't describe very clearly. We have to understand where the Palashruti begins, etc. We have to understand. Okay? The next upasanam we will see in the next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.